الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. After the battle of Uhud, when the mushrikeen were leaving the battlefield, then there was a conversation that happened between Abu Sufyan and between the Muslims. And in this conversation, Abu Sufyan said that our promised place of meeting is in Badr the next year. So there would be a trade fair that would take place once a year in Badr. And it was a time when different Arab tribes would gather at that point, would gather at Badr. So he said that next year we will meet there. And we will have a battle, we will have a fight. Safwan bin Umayyah dissuaded him and told him that don't make this promise. But Abu Sufyan was adamant. And he said, next year we will meet. So now the next year, when Abu Sufyan mentioned this, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhu to say, Na'am huwa baynana wa baynakum mu'id. Yes, we will keep up to this promise and we will meet you next year in Badr. So the next year, either in the month of Sha'ban, the fourth year after Hijrah, or the end of the month of Shawwal. And from certain angles, this seems to be the more correct view, the end of the month of Shawwal, because this trade fair used to generally happen at the beginning of Dhul-Qa'dah. So it makes more sense that they left Madinah Munawwara at the end of Shawwal, and they were there in Badr during the time of this trade fair. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left with 1,500 Sahaba radiallahu anhum. There were 10 horses among the army. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam appointed either Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu an as the one in charge in Madinah Munawwara, or Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul. So Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul was the famous leader of the Munafiqeen. But his son was a sincere Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam either appointed him Abdullah, the son of the famous Munafiq, Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul. He appointed him as the leader of Madinah Munawwara, and he left with this army of Muslims. Before this, there was a person by the name of Nu'aym bin Mas'ud al-Ashja'i, who went from Madinah Munawwara to Makkah Mukarrama, and he had seen the preparation that the Muslims were making. So he informed the people of Makkah Mukarrama that these are the preparations that are being made. Abu Sufyan on his side was not interested in going for this battle. And he was hoping that the Muslims don't pitch up. He was hoping that the Muslims don't come to Badr. So he says to Nu'aym bin Mas'ud that I will promise you 20 camels. 20 camels will be your reward. You go to Madinah Munawwara and you turn the Muslims away. You dissuade them from coming out for battle. So Nu'aym bin Mas'ud, looking at the great reward, the handsome reward that he will receive, he went to Madinah Munawwara and he began Madinah Munawwara. And instilled fear in the hearts of the Muslims regarding the preparations that the Kuffar are making and what a huge army they are coming with. And it's not good for you to come out. The Yahud and the Munafiqeen, the Jews and the hypocrites, were very happy. They felt that now this will be the end of Islam. This Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhum will be wiped out. And they also tried to instill this fear and instigate this fear against the Muslims or in the hearts of the Muslims. However, this did not affect the true believers. Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they say, O Nabi of Allah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مُظْهِرٌ دِينَهُ وَمُعِزُّ النَّبِيَّهُ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely help his Nabi and he will give izzat and honor to him. Allah will definitely help his deen. He will support his deen and he will give izzat and honor to his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have made a promise, we have given them our word, we must go out. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard this support from Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma, he became extremely happy. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on to say, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَأَخْرُجَنَّ وَإِن لَمْ يَخْرُجْ مَعِيَ أَحَدٍ. I take a qasam, I take an oath on that being who is in control of my life, that even if a single person does not come out with me, and I am left all alone, I will still go. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhum depart. On the side of Abu Sufyan in Makkah Mukarrama, he prepared an army of 2,000, but obviously his intention was that he did not want to go to fight. And he was hopeful that Nu'aym bin Mas'ud al-Ashja'i will be able to be successful in his spreading of fear and dissuading the Muslims from coming to Badr. So Abu Sufyan left with an army of 2,000. They reached a marketplace near Makkah Mukarrama, which was called Mijanna. And when they reached there, then Abu Sufyan made an excuse. And he says to the army that this is not the right situation for us to come out. Because when we travel, we need a lot of vegetation for our animals to eat from. And now there is drought. So we should not be traveling during a time of drought. So we will not travel now when it is a time of good rainfall and there's a lot of vegetation, then we will go. And in this way, they returned, making this excuse, they returned to Makkah Mukarrama. The people of Makkah Mukarrama began to taunt them. And they called this army Jaish al-Sawiq. That the only thing you did is you went out, you ate that sawiq that you would take as provisions, and you came back. You haven't done anything. So they began to taunt them. And on the side of the Muslims, they had gone to Badr, and they spent 8 days in Badr. 8 days they spent there waiting for the mushrikeen to come. Before departure, they took along some goods with them. And they had this in mind, that if the disbelievers don't pitch up for the battle, then we will do business in the marketplace of Badr, and we will make profit. So, as they had planned, the mushrikeen did not pitch up, they did not come. They sold their goods, and they made 100% profit on their goods. Uthman radiallahu anhu says, for one dirham, I received 2 dirhams. So 100% profit they made on their goods. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with this. And the message spread that the Muslim army is there waiting in Badr, and there is such a powerful army, etc. There was a person by the name of Makhshi ibn Amr al-Damri. He was discussed in the first battle, in the battle of Abwa or Waddan, which was the first battle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam came out to pursue one of the caravans of Quraysh, and the caravan had already escaped and already moved on. Then this person of the Banu Damra tribe, he had entered into an agreement with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now he meets Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Badr, and he asks Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, have you come out to fight against the army of the Quraysh? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied in the affirmative. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that if you want to terminate the agreement that we have made, you may terminate it. And then we will fight and we will see what will be decreed for both of us. He says, no, I don't have any need for terminating this agreement. Obviously, this again was Rasulullah ﷺ speaking from a position of strength. He was not asking for the agreement to be kept in, or not begging for the agreement to be kept intact. Rather, he gave him the liberty. If you want to terminate the agreement, you may terminate this agreement. So, he says that I don't have any need for this. Abdullah bin Rawaha and Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu anhuma, the two famous poets of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, had composed many lines of poetry ridiculing the disbelievers of Makkah Mukarrama for their cowardice and for them not being able to come to fight and face the Muslim army. This was actually a very great victory for the Muslims, that the Muslims had left Madinah Munawwara ready to fight. They went to this famous marketplace where many people were there, and all the people that were gathered there had seen the strength of the Muslims. It gave a very loud message of the strength of Islam. And it gave this message that the best army in Arabia, which could perhaps be called the superpower of Arabia at that time, the Qurayshi army, is so frightened of them that they did not even pitch up to fight against the Muslim army. And it also gave this message that the losses that Sahaba radiallahu anhum had suffered in Uhud, 70 Sahaba becoming shaheed, great losses that they suffered in Uhud, these losses have not weakened the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Rather, 1 year thereafter, they came out with such a strong army. After this fair, a person by the name of Ma'bad al-Khuzai, he goes to Makkah Mukarramah, and he tells the people of Makkah Mukarramah regarding the large army of the Muslims, and he says, in our words, they stole the show. There were so many of them there in this fair of Badr, and you all could not come to fight against them. He also explained what went on between Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the leader of the Banu Damra tribe. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is speaking from such a position of strength that he was even prepared to terminate that agreement that was made with the Banu Damra tribe. When Safwan bin Umayyah heard this, he rebuked Abu Sufyan. And he told Abu Sufyan, didn't I tell you that you should not make this appointment with them? You should not make this promise with them. Now see how we have disgraced ourselves and how the Muslims have honored themselves and people are looking up to them. So this battle is known as Badr al-Maw'id, the promised Badr. Or it is also known as Badr al-Akhira, the last Badr, because there was a Badr Sughra, there was a small Badr, then there was the main battle of Badr, and this was the last battle of Badr. Obviously, the famous battle of Badr is the major and the big battle of Badr. So, this is called Badr al-Maw'id, the promised Badr, or Badr al-Akhira, the last Badr. So, this was against the enemy, against the kuffar of Makkah Mukarramah, and this was generally the enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam up till this point. However, the next battle was a very different battle, because now the enemy changed, and similarly the area of travel changed. The place is a place called Dumatul Jandal. It's a place which is on the border of Hijaz and Sham. It is on the border of the Arabian Peninsula and of Sham. It is approximately 15 to 16 days journey from Madinah Munawwara. Very far away from Madinah Munawwara, approximately 450 kilometers north of Madinah Munawwara. And it is only 5 days journey away from Damascus, which was the capital of the Romans at that time. So it was a very far place. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam received information that there's a big group that has gathered in this place, Dumatul Jandal. And firstly, they are oppressing and they're attacking those caravans that are passing by. So the trade caravans will travel through that area going to Sham, which was the famous trade route. So they are attacking these trade caravans. Rasulullah, and they further, the information that he received was that they are planning to come closer to Madinah Munawwara. Obviously, if they come closer to Madinah Munawwara, then it will be an issue of danger for the Muslims. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam leaves Madinah Munawwara with 1,000 Sahaba radiallahu anhum in the month of Rabiul Awwal, the fifth year after Hijrah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam appoints a Sahabi by the name of Siba ibn Urfuta al-Ghifari radiallahu an as the one in charge of Madinah Munawwara. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would travel by night and he would hide during the day so that the information should not reach the enemy that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is marching to the area. He hired the services of an experienced guide, Mazkur radiallahu an, to guide them along this journey, because it was a terrain that they were not used to. They would not normally travel in that area. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam undertook this very lengthy journey, 450 kilometers in those days, approximately 15 to 16 days of travel. He traveled this entire distance with 1,000 Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Again, this gave a very powerful message, a very loud message, that the Muslims now are so powerful. They are not only concerned, previously they were concerned about their own existence, about securing Madinah Munawwara and to protect themselves and defend themselves from any external threat that will threaten them. Now they are going beyond that. They are so powerful that they can travel 450 kilometers out of Madinah Munawwara, bordering on the Roman territory. That was the superpower of that time, which also gave a message to the Romans that your position is now at stake, that there is such a powerful force that is prepared to travel in your direction. And obviously this journey of Rasulullah ﷺ and Sahaba radiallahu anhum traveling must have been an amazing journey of tarbiyah, of ta'aleem, where Rasulullah ﷺ had the chance and the opportunity of preparing the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And it also prepared the Sahaba radiallahu anhum for undertaking lengthy journeys in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was the first lengthy journey which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhum had undertook. Hence, this opened the door and it set the precedent for all the lengthy journeys that Sahaba radiallahu anhum later on undertook, and the great victories that Sahaba radiallahu anhu made in different lands. This opened the door for that, and it set the precedent for that. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhu traveled. When the enemy heard that they are coming, they were so frightened that they escaped that area. They left their camels and their animals in that place. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba went and they took these animals as booty. Thereafter, they went to Dumatul Jandal, where the enemy would normally be stationed, and they spent a few days there, but they were nowhere to be seen. Muhammad bin Maslama radiallahu anhu took one person as captive, and he asked him, and the Muslims asked him, that where are the enemy? He said that when they heard of you coming, they all have escaped. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam presented Islam to this person, and he accepted Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam thereafter returned. On his journey back to Madinah Munawwara, a person by the name of Uyayna bin Hisan al-Fazari, whose incident will come, inshallah, in a few ghazawat later. This person, Uyayna bin Hisan al-Fazari, so he made an agreement with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he took permission from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to graze his animals 36 miles away from Madinah Munawwara. So the area where he was living in, there was drought in that area. There was no fodder for the animals. So he took permission from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and made this agreement that he will be allowed to graze his animals. He was a leader of his area, so the animals of his area, of his people, they will be allowed to graze them 36 miles out of Madinah Munawwara. This also gives a very special message and a very loud message that now Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not only controlling Madinah Munawwara, but the areas around Madinah Munawwara were also regarded under the control of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, at a distance of 36 miles out of Madinah Munawwara, permission is still being sought from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we can graze our animals in this area. If the Muslims were confined to Madinah Munawwara, then 36 miles was a very far area away from Madinah Munawwara. There would have not been a need for a powerful leader of his area to ask permission from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the fact that he asked permission showed that now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's rule was not over Madinah Munawwara alone, but it was over a vast area out of Madinah Munawwara as well. Similarly, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam traveling 450 kilometers away from Madinah Munawwara, mainly to secure the trade route. It also shows and it gives this message that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's rule was extending very far. He was now the powerful leader of the area, and this was the powerful rule of the area, that the trade route of the travelers traveling right till Sham, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam understood that now to secure this route is my responsibility. If he needed to secure the route 450 kilometers out of Madinah Munawwara, it also shows that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's influence now had spread very far, right till the Roman territories. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhu went out on this expedition, and thereafter they returned to Madinah Munawwara. Although the journey was a very long journey of 15 to 16 days, and then they spent a few days there in Dumatul Jandal, and then it would take them the same similar amount of time to return. However, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhum managed to cover this journey in a much lesser time. Just a little more than 20 days they spent on this journey, and they managed to return to Medina Munawwara quicker than expected. Inshallah, we will continue. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.